Buckeye Extra is brought to you by the Columbus Springs Hospitals, changing people's lives by providing addiction and mental health treatment for adults, adolescents, and children through two Columbus-based hospitals and an outpatient service clinic. Columbus Springs Hospitals. There's hope. There's help. For full information, visit hopeincolumbus.com.
We'll start down here in the far left corner in the front.
Bill Landis from Cleveland.com. Urban, you said earlier that you were aware of the incident with Zach in 2009. Your inquiry into 2015 was unfounded. You couldn't find anything. Why fire Zach now if you had kept him on staff after 2009?
Well, I am going to address the 2009 because I've been asked about that. 2009, Zach was an intern, a very young couple. As I do any time, I imagine most coaches or people in leadership positions, you receive a phone call, first thing you do is tell your boss, let the experts do their jobs. We're certainly not going to investigate. It came back to me that what was reported wasn't actually what happened. And so Shelly and I actually both got involved because of our relationship with that family and advised for counseling and wanted to help as we move forward. 2015, I got a text late last night that something happened in 2015, and there was nothing, unless, once again, there's nothing. You know, once again, I don't know who creates a story like that. And then this recent one was, you know, you press pause. It's something our team lives by, E plus R equals O. You get an event, you press pause, get your mind right, and step up. Press pause to gather information, get your mind right to gather energy, and then step up to do the right thing. That's the position that I hold, and that's why we did that.
Take our next questions all the way in the back, same side of the room.
Hey, Urban. Austin Ward from Letterman Row. It's my understanding that Brian Hartline will serve as the wide receivers coach, at least on an interim basis. What is that going to be the case, and what have you learned about having him around for the last year or so?
I can't see you, Austin Ward.
I'm back here.
That decision will be made later in the week. You know, anything, any speculation up to that point, certainly that. I have not even addressed my staff. I addressed several of our staff. This happened rather quickly, so I get back tonight. Tomorrow we'll have a conversation. I'll probably release something by the end of the week, what our plans are.
Coach, we'll shift over to the right side of the room against the wall here.
Doug Lamaurice, Cleveland.com. Just to clarify, Urban, did firing Zach now, is it because any of this became public, or is it because there was another incident that led to the latest protective order on Friday?
I'm not going to get into that, Doug. It's a very personal matter. The decision was made. I think the details that I'm obligated to give, I gave. You're talking about people's lives, et cetera. So the decision was made. It's time to move forward. And we are in a public world. I try not to operate, especially when you're talking about personnel and people. Making things because it became public, but to say that doesn't have something to do with it, it does a little bit. I'm one of those ones that I really don't care about that. I try to stay focused on what's the most important thing, that's our players and our team. But I do understand the value of, it's the Ohio State University is bigger than all of us, and so you have to do what's right by them. And the timing, it wasn't just my decision, it was a group effort on several people that I rely on.
And then knowing your relationship with Earl Bruce, how did that factor into all of this? And obviously you have a relationship with that family and with Zach that extends beyond just him being an employee of yours. How did that factor into all of this?
Well, Zach was first hired because of his skill set. I knew about it because he was with me at Florida. Played for me at actually Bowling Green. But Coach Bruce now is strong relationship I've ever had other than my father. I've made that clear many, many times. And so the big picture that was very important in this particular situation, you know, I think that's one of the hard jobs of a leader. You have to make decisions that are for the best of the program, and I did.
Coach, we'll shift back to the left side of the room, right smack in the middle.
Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch. Two questions. One, how much about the Zach Smith matter? How much of that was it violated one of the core values of the program in dealing with respect toward women, domestic violence? And then the second question, a football question, just how talented is this roster from top to bottom in comparison with what you've had previously at Ohio State?
The core values is something that, you know, there's a difference between a mistake and a core value. When I was, I believe, 6 years old, I was sat down by my father and it was explained to me about what core values are and what mistakes are. Mistakes are correctable. Core values are who you are, and there are certain things that we sat down that day. I remember 6 years old trying to think, what the heck is he talking about? But it stuck with me. I'm 54 now, and to this day, I still teach my family the same thing. So it is, core values are very strong. And so that was a big part of it. Number two, very talented team. Very good people, guys have worked hard. We have our tradition that Coach Mick will hand me the teams on August 2nd before we start work on August 3rd. And I'm anxious to see him go. The difference between today's calendar as in years past, where I see him all the time. You know, I've been at the last four workouts, I believe, so I know what we're getting. Even the young players, you know, a lot of times you have no idea what you're getting until you watch them go. But the incoming freshmen, we have a good feel. You know, obviously not the contact part, but the athleticism. Very good team. Got to stay healthy and be smart on it. The key word for our preparation this year is going to be efficient. We have 25 practices, no two-a-days, and a day off during training camp. We have to be very efficient in how we get ready for Oregon State.
Coach, we'll go right down dead in front of us here.
Hi, Urban. Dave Biddle, 24/7 Sports. First of all, just your expectations for Dwayne Haskins this year at quarterback, and also can you give an update on Tuff Borland, how his injury status and how he's coming along?
Dwayne Haskins, the position will never change. The expectation is to be the best quarterback in the Big Ten, which is very hard because we have some excellent quarterbacks. The one that the void is going to be the leadership component that guy, I can't remember his name, was there for 4 years prior, JT, who I love that guy, always will. And what he did for our team inside, not many even people were aware of, is I'll forever be indebted to JT Barrett. That's how good a person, a leader he was. This guy's very skilled. The guy behind him is very skilled. If we took the snap today, I made it clear that Dwayne would be the quarterback. But 30 days from now, a lot happens in 30 days. Matt Baldwin's our third-team quarterback. He's up to 200, I believe, 9 pounds right now. He's gained 20-some pounds. He had a tough injury, but I watch him work, watch him throw. So I wish we had one more because you like to have four. But Dwayne's very talented throwing the ball. But that's one-third of what a quarterback has to do. And lead and toughness are the other two.
And then Tuff Borland.
Oh, Tuff Borland's doing great. He's got the same pain threshold and, you know, as JT Barrett. You know, JT Barrett, when the doctors told me after our rivalry game that's going to be several weeks, I kind of laughed as I walked out of the room. So that means he'll be 5 days. Same with Tuff Borland. Well, it's a really tough injury, and I'm looking at Tuff with a smile, and he winks at me, and he's on course to perform this fall.
So right next to him.
Yeah, Coach. Steve Hellwagman, 24/7 Sports. I want to ask the Barrett question about Dwayne Haskins. From the moment that it was apparent Joe was not coming back, have you seen Dwayne seize leadership of the offense, the team? It'd be impossible to perhaps match what JT did, but in your mind, is he putting himself in the right spot?
Yes,
that?
And the big word is respect and earn trust. It's the job of a leader, earn trust, and that's the most, you know, all due respect to other sports, this is the most unique position in all of sport. He has to understand the entire defense. He has to understand all 10 other players, what they're doing on offense. He's got to make decisions in split seconds. And by the way, he's got people like Bosa trying to tear his, throat out. And so very unique position, but he's done very well. And Tate has done very well, too.
We'll go two rows behind him right there.
Dan Hope from 11 Warriors. Urban, have you ever been in a position like this where you've had to replace a coach this close to the season, and how do you handle that? How do you move forward from that?
Well, I've been very fortunate. We've had very little. We've had turnover where people have gone on to become head coaches, or like Kerry Combs decided to go to the NFL. But no, this is a very unique situation. And it's also very unique that I have the strength of young coaches on my staff that I have. This has been a very this best group of young coaches I've ever had on both sides of the ball, and they're very involved with our preparation, game plan, and development of our players.
Go another two rows behind to Honda.
Urban, Hondo Carpenter with Spartan Nation. With all due respect to the Ohio State-Michigan rivalry, which is storied and among the best in the nation, Michigan hasn't made it a rivalry with you on the field since in quite a while, but Michigan State has. I know that you greatly respect Antonio. He feels the same. Can you talk about that Michigan State-Ohio State rivalry, please?
Yeah, I think it's always been there. You know, I don't think – I remember back in the day we lost in 1986 – we lost to Coach Perlis at Ohio Stadium. Scored on the first play of the game. And then when I was at Notre Dame, we played there and played against them every year. And I agree with what you said as far as, you know, maybe all the focus is on the other rivalry, because that will never change. However, and I don't believe it's just Coach D'Antonio. I believe it's Michigan State, Ohio State. There's an incredible history there. It just so happens we're in a seven-year, this will be the seventh year, that every game comes down basically to the wire. A lot of times it's for the championship, and that's a credit to not just Coach D'Antonio, but my gosh, they got good players. So the good thing is, getting ready for that game, there's zero motivation. Our players have so much respect for that team that they're going to be ready.
Coach, will bounce over to the right side of the room on the aisle, even with the camera.
Hey, Coach, Ari Wasserman with The Athletic. I know at the end of spring football that Joe and Dwayne were pretty neck and neck, or what it seemed to be neck and neck. Is there any more insight on how that conversation went with Joe and, you know, how you guys, or how he decided to move on and go to LSU?
Very tough conversation in a positive way. You know, Joe Burrow, the last 2 weeks of spring practice, did about everything he could to win that spot. And, I mean, I really haven't talked much about this, but it was right there. Joe and his family and I had open conversation all the way throughout, including conversation after the season about how we're going to handle the spring. Ryan Day did a phenomenal job. Even Joe and his family were very gracious and thankful. You know, I think the graduate transfer rule is very fair. You know, I know that that's a lot of conversation about that. It's very fair because the ultimate objective academically is to graduate. He fulfilled that obligation, and he should have a right to do what he wants to do. Do I wish he was still with us? I do. I love Joe Burrow. I love his family and have great respect for him. Man, that's not going to stop. That relationship will continue for many years.
Coach, your next question will be all the way in the back under the light on the left side.
Coach, J.P. Cadorn from Spectrum Sports. Last season was the first time the Big Ten missed the college football playoff. I'm sure you're not concerned with an outside perspective. However, how do you feel the league is set up despite missing? What is the ultimate goal for a lot of programs?
Yeah, we had a great conversation in the spring meetings at the Big Ten. You know, we got to make sure that, you know, scheduling is a big part of it. You know, the Big Ten Conference not making to the playoff, you know, I don't blame others. I blame ourselves. You know, I can't – it's not my job to worry about anything else in this country other than Ohio State. And we lost two games. We have a very tough schedule. Our schedule last year was very hard. So I think the Big Ten Conference has moved from – I can only give you the historical perspective from 2012 to 2018. It's not even close. The value – the competitive level at the Big Ten Conference right now is as strong as I've ever been in any conference. Speaking particularly about the Big Ten East, once again, I can just give you my historical perspective of the different conferences I've worked in. It's the most competitive division that I've ever been a part of. So – how that relates to the college football playoff, that's too abstract. There's committees involved and other things involved. It's just that's an issue the Big Ten's going to have to face. But the SEC faces as well. There's all conferences face good teams within their conference. You lose two or three games or a couple games in that conference, it's tough to make the playoff.
Time for two more, and we'll start right here.
Coach Ryan Schuling, Great Lakes Divide. The new rule regarding red shirts and the ability to have four games now leeway to make decisions on players. As you go into your process of evaluating and depth charts and assigning playing time, that sort of thing, what changes for you, if anything?
Yeah, that's a great question. We've had conversation amongst our staff. There's not a template to say how we're going to handle this. I know every year when it starts getting down to that November run, you're dealing with injuries, you're dealing with other issues, fatigue, et cetera, you'd like to have some bodies available. What happens remains to be seen. You know, you'd hate to save a guy for those last four games and then not put him in the game. So it's still to be determined. I think the rule's good. I think it's good for the student athlete, which is what matters. And I'm excited to see how we can utilize it. But I can't tell you exactly how we're going to do it right now.
Take our final question here on the right of the room.
Coach, Bill Bender, Sporting News. You've been on both sides of the coin with the Big Ten champion in the playoffs. So how much of a concern is it to you long-term that this conference, with all this depth, hasn't had its champion make the college football playoff the last two seasons?
It's very concerning. Once again, I don't for someone to speak on someone who hasn't spent a lot of time studying why and how, I'm too busy with other things. You know, I imagine Jim Delaney and the higher-ups are having conversations of that should not happen from one of the premier conferences in America. But once again, for me to give my input, I don't know enough about the what exactly the committee, you know, originally I was told, you know, about different levels, what's important to make the playoff, and I don't know if we live by that, you know, but once again, that's just my opinion. I have not studied it, and I'm not going to study it. It's none of my business. My job is to go get ready for Oregon State. But I think there needs to be conversation and further conversation about that.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Thank you, guys.